Once upon a time, there lived a king and queen who greatly wished to have a child, and yet they were unable to conceive. They probably did mostly missionary, but maybe they tried some butt stuff too. That would explain some things. And so it happened one day that while the queen was bathing, a frog emerged from the pond and plopped onto the grass next to the pool. She continued to wash herself, wishing aloud for a child, and her voyeuristic guest told her to expect a daughter within the year. The news excited her greatly, because nothing bad ever happens in fairy tales when your wishes are mysteriously granted. But there was no frog on Queen Action, because this is not that kind of story. So either this frog had some crazy magical powers, or he was like those dogs who can sniff out drugs in your bag at the airport, but, like, for pregnant ladies. Still, a talking frog. That's wild. Thankfully for all involved, the frog spoke true and had no ulterior motives. And in time, the queen bore a daughter so beautiful that the king was overcome with generosity and called for a great feast to be held. He invited his family, the nobles, and anyone else who was rich enough to be important, but also the wise women, of whom there were 13. He hoped the women would bestow precious gifts upon his child, but he only had room for 12 of them. Because how do you fit 13 people at a single table? A round table, you say? This is a fairy tale, not a fantasy. Regardless, such powerful and vindictive women surely wouldn't take it personally if one of them was left out of the festivities. The feast was more lavish than any before, and as the evening drew to a close, the wise women each approached the child one by one to present their gifts. The first wise woman bestowed beauty on the child, even though she was already beautiful. But I guess maybe without that blessing, she would have been one of those cute babies who grow up to be, like, a 5 out of 10. The next woman bestowed virtue, which kind of sounds like something you can also just learn, you know, from good parenting and being surrounded by the proper role models. But the king and queen didn't mind. Less work for them. Yet another woman gifted the child with riches, because I guess even kings and queens can use another solid gold chamber pot. The other wise women bore gifts that were thankfully too wondrous and tedious to describe, but after 11 gifts had been given, the 13th wise woman, not believing that her invitation had been lost in the mail, burst into the feasting hall unannounced. In a rage, she pointed to the infant and shouted, "In her 21st year of life, when she's clearly too old to be in high school, and with an extra couple of years just so we don't piss off the mods, the princess will fuck herself silly with a dildo and come so hard that she literally just fucking dies." And to the astonishment of all, she turned and left without a further word. Those in attendance were stunned by this surprising and completely unforeseeable turn of events when the 12th wise woman strode forth to save the day, for she had not yet given the gift to the child. Although she could not undo the doom foretold by the uninvited wise woman, she could conveniently lessen its consequences, because that's totally a thing. And she said, "Death shall not come to the princess, but she will fall asleep for 100 years, but like in a suspended animation kind of way, so she doesn't starve or get super old or anything else that would make this story less sexy." Also, did I mention that these so-called wise women have the power to just curse somebody to death? That's like frog-level powers, at least. It's crazy. The king, being distraught and demonstrably far less powerful than a magic frog or a wise woman, decreed that all sex toys in the kingdom should be rounded up and burned on a pyre, and all knowledge of their creation became a forbidden art. Thus, in a world devoid of marital aids, the princess grew to an age where it was completely illegal and not at all problematic for her to be engaging in sexual activities, for she had all the gifts that the wise women endowed her with. She was kind, patient, and modest, the type of girl you could take home to your mother. She could make you laugh, but would also laugh at your stupid jokes. She was fit, but not a fitness freak, and enjoyed pizza, and being one of the guys. A real lady on the streets, but a freak in the sheets. and she had a healthy sex drive to go with her fantastic knockers and sensational ass, because this is absolutely that kind of story. She was beloved throughout the kingdom, and none that saw her could help but lust after her. All but one. A day came when the king and queen were away from the castle, probably hunting for magic frogs or something, and the princess was left to her own devices. She explored all the chambers and darkened corners, fingering herself as she went, and seeking the best places to come, taking note of the softest beds, the firmest pillows, and the most beautiful views. She moaned and gasped, coming and going wherever she pleased, until at last she arrived at the base of an old tower. She climbed the stairs, going round and round, ever higher and higher, until at last she came upon a door, old and sturdy. Inside, she found a small chamber, and sitting hunched upon the edge of a bed, an old woman, carving something out of wood. "Good day to you," said the princess cheerfully. "What are you making?"
"A dildo," replied the old woman. "Do you have one?"
She'd never heard the word before, but the object was invitingly smooth and shiny, and it intrigued the princess greatly. When the girl shook her head in confusion, the old woman smiled crookedly and said,
"Here, I gift this to you."
Smiling gratefully, the girl took the dildo and with carnal instinct slid it under her dress and into her dripping pussy. The world melted away as the sensations overtook her. She'd never before had anything like this inside of her, for there were none left in the kingdom. And she'd certainly never experienced the real thing, for there was no man bold enough to court this exceedingly fuckable young woman. Already feeling her legs getting weak, she kneeled on the bed, bracing herself on the mattress with one hand, the other pumping the dildo in and out, over and over she fucked herself, reaching new heights of pleasure until she could finally take no more. An orgasm rocked her body, more powerful than the countless climaxes she'd experienced that day, or ever, really. The princess cried out, the powerful contractions of her vagina causing the dildo to slide out of her and onto the bed. And in that moment, she fell forward onto the mattress, face down in slumber. Her dress was bunched up around her waist, baring her round, juicy ass for all to see. But none would ever get to see it. Not for many years. For that powerful orgasm and the inevitable drowsiness that followed it swept over the kingdom. The king and queen, who had by now returned to the castle, fell asleep in ecstasy on their thrones, while the court likewise nodded off where they stood, cum soaking the fronts of their trousers. The horses in the stables bowed their heads low, the dogs in the yard yawned lazily, and the pigeons on the battlements quieted their songs. Only the sleepiness affected them, because this is not that kind of story. Besides, birds have a cloaca, and that's weird. Not only the living were affected, for the licking tongues of flame in the hearth froze in time, and even the passing of wind came to a standstill. An everlasting toot that would not be smelt until long after it was dealt. In the royal kitchen, the meat on the spit ceased roasting, and the cook, who was tugging on the scullion's hair as he fed her some meat of his own, froze in mid-facefuck. The air grew still, and not a leaf fluttered or fell in the castle's many gardens. A milky white haze rose up around the land, slowly obscuring the castle and all within, behind a veil of impossibly thick mist. Travellers turned away and shunned the realm, fearful of the deadly silence and the strange blanket of fog, and a little put off by the musky odour. Rumours spread over the years of the lost kingdom and the gorgeous sleeping Rosamond, for we should probably know the princess's name now that she's bare-assed and unconscious. Enticed by the stories and led on by their engorged members, many knights and princes tried to brave the mysterious haze, only to find that it clouded their vision and filled their lungs. Those who ventured in soon became lost and met a slow and terrible end, gagging and choking on the clammy fog. Many avoided the area altogether as the tales of this cursed land grew more fearsome and dire. Many years later, another prince arrived in the land, and he eagerly sought to learn of the legendary castle hidden in the fog. He met an old hermit who shared the tale of the beautiful princess and the king and the queen and the entire realm that had slumbered for nearly 100 years. The story had been passed down to him by his father and his father before him, who was a renowned maker of dildos, but he warned the prince of the countless brave souls who had ventured into the mists, never to be seen again. The prince was adamant and would not heed the advice of the old man, for he'd also heard tales of Rosamond's legendary sex drive, and the women of his kingdom only liked to bang on special occasions and with the lights off. But the 100 years were coming to an end, and the day of awakening was near at hand. As the prince approached the fog, it melted away before him, revealing a land frozen in time. The air was unnaturally still and silent, but in the distance was the fabled castle. When he reached the courtyard, he saw the horses and the hounds resting peacefully where they lie, and perched upon the roof, the pigeons slumbered with their heads tucked under their wings. And as he entered the kitchen, he saw the scullion in mid-suck, droplets of semen escaping from her lips and frozen upon her chin. The cook held a fistful of her hair, his head thrown back in a moment of eternal ecstasy. As he carried on further into the castle, he came upon the court frozen in place, the king and queen napping in their thrones like old people after a heavy dinner. On and on he wandered, exploring chamber after chamber, and finding nothing but the same eerie stillness and scenes of motionless rapture. At last, he found himself at the base of an old tower, and climbing up and up, he was finally rewarded for his diligence. The Princess Rosamond lay prone on a bed, her face turned to the side, and she was more beautiful than he could have imagined. But the most magnificent sight before him was her bare bottom. Her rounded globes were too inviting to ignore, and he gave them first a reverent squeeze, and then a hard smack. It rang like perfection in his ears, and the curve of her butt seemed to be made for his hand. Again, he spanked her, and this time, some colour came to the skin, and it grew rosy where he'd struck her. "Rosy," he muttered to himself, as he began to hurriedly disrobe. His eyes wanted to know every curve of that perfect ass, and as he let his gaze drift between her legs, he saw the wetness and the creaminess that remained from her last climax. He knew nothing of breaking purses, but instinct drove him on, and really, what would you do if you saw this somno-dream girl laid out before you? He climbed onto the bed and kissed her cheek, but she did not stir, and neither did she respond when he called out her name or shook her by the shoulder. And then he saw the dildo, discarded on the bed, and marvelled at how much it resembled his own manhood. He slowly eased himself into her, and her body welcomed him eagerly. And as he buried himself fully inside her, Rosamond awoke with a moan. She had not forgotten the pleasure of the dildo, and being roused in this manner was irresistible. And the king and queen, the court, and everyone in the castle awoke to the cries of pleasure coming from the tower. And they looked to each other in wonder and embarrassment, for the memories of their sudden pre-slumber orgasms were still fresh in their minds. And the horses roused themselves in the stables and shook out their manes, as the hounds in the yard rose to their feet and stretched. The pigeons ruffled their feathers and flew off to go and shit on a statue somewhere. The fire in the hearth roared back to life, cooking the roast as the spit began to turn once more. The cook finished climaxing in the scullion's mouth, and his seed flowed down her chin and onto her apron. All the while, the prince and Rosamond continued to rot in the tower, oblivious to the world around them. And she climaxed over and over from the pumping of his cock, well into the night, and again the next morning. The prince and Rosamund were married in an extravagant ceremony, and the people celebrated with a kingdom-wide orgy, inspired by the exuberant lovemaking of the new couple. The sex toy workshops were reopened, and a booming industry of dildos and plugs ushered in a new age of prosperity. And the prince brought much pleasure to the princess, and they tried many positions, but her favourite was always being woken up by his cock, and they fucked happily ever after.